Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace and for being our shepherd. And Father, we pray that the good news would come not only in word, but in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. Amen. Well, what if I told you this morning that you didn't have to worry about money anymore? And for $29.99, you can buy my program. I'm kidding. Isn't that a great start for a neat infomercial, though? That'd be great. What if I told you you didn't have to worry about money ever again? What if I told you that you didn't have to worry about your reputation or your career? What if I told you you didn't have to worry about whether or not you'd ever get married or that you'd find that right person? What if I told you you didn't have to worry about that super volcano simmering under Yosemite right this minute? Amen, Doug? That's right. That's right. Yellowstone, sorry. Eh, whatever. Certainly, why? I mean, come on. They're all the same. If it blows, we're doomed. What if you didn't have to worry about that? What if you didn't have to worry about politics ever again? Not one day. You didn't have to spend one more minute worrying about what would happen. Most of you looking at me going, well, of course, that's not true. I mean, even if you won the lottery, you'd probably still have to worry about some stuff, right? But David, when he writes this passage, says this. He uses God's covenant name, Yahweh. He says, Yahweh is my shepherd. I lack nothing. That's a bold statement, right? I lack nothing. The Hebrew word that means, it means that there will never be a lack of anything. There'll never be a time when it runs dry, when the well runs dry, or when the food runs out, or when the blessings stop coming. There'll never be that time. Now, most of us, when we read this, if you've ever read Psalm 23, and you probably have, and it was probably at a funeral, right? Or a memorial service or something like that. That's when we usually read it. We hear it, when people have died and they're, going on, and they're literally going through the valley of the shadow of death, and where we're sort of ushering them out. But this is really not a psalm about death. It's a psalm about life. He's not talking about dying. He's talking about living. And yet, most of us, when we read that first passage, we say, "The Lord Yahweh is my shepherd; I lack nothing." And we say, "Wouldn't that be great?" But it's not real. I mean, this is not real life. This is church life. This is what we say in church. This is what, pastors say, and this is what we say in these four walls. But it doesn't really apply out there, because, well, out there is real. And I really do have to worry about making rent. And I really do have to worry about, my kids and where they're gonna, how they're gonna do in school. And I got lots of worries. And just because, Lee says something in these four walls about, the Bible telling us we don't need to worry, well, that's just crazy. But what if just for a minute you could imagine that you didn't have to worry? That you never had to spend one more sleepless night thinking about what might happen if the blessings run out, if the money runs dry, if my spouse's love runs out? What if you didn't have to worry about that? And David is a shepherd, right? David is the shepherd king. Remember the story, Samuel was going to go and anoint a new king of Israel. And he went to this, farmer's house, and he had all these handsome, strapping lads. And God said, no, that's not the one. No, not that one. And he went through all the sons, and finally he said, well, don't you have one more son? I mean, God told me this is the place. He said, well, we have the scrawny music guy who's out in the field, but he's useless. I mean, he's out there playing his harp. What's he going to do? And Samuel said, well, bring him. Mate, who knows? And of course, it is David who is keeping his father's sheep, who had become the shepherd of Israel. And it is this shepherd who writes this song, who says, Yahweh is my shepherd. And because he's my shepherd, I lack nothing. David, who spent a big chunk of his life running away from Saul, who spent a big chunk of his life running away from his own son who was trying to overthrow him, this David says, I lack nothing. What would it be for you this morning to be able to say, when you wake, when you go to bed tonight, when you lay your head on your pillow, to say, I lack nothing. I don't have to worry about my career, about my life, about who I'm going to marry. I don't have to worry about any of that because Yahweh is my shepherd. In fact, Yahweh is such a good shepherd that not only does he guide me in these wonderful places, in the green pastures and the still waters, and he restores my soul, and he even leads me through this deep, dark valley called death. But he's so good that every day my cup is not just a little bit. It doesn't just, there's not just enough for me to drink, but rather my cup overflows every day. The blessings are so rich every day that I can't even take them all in. Does that sound even remotely like the life you lead? And I'm not asking you to raise your hand. I hope it is. Some of you it might be. But let's face it, most of us, we get through life with just enough, it feels like. Sometimes we get through life with maybe not quite enough. And we just feel like we're scraping by. And not always just money, but in our lives, the way we sort of get through our jobs and the way we get through our school and the way we go through our classes and the way we live our lives and our marriages, they feel, sometimes our marriages feel as if there's just barely enough to keep going, and sometimes not even that much. What would it be to live a life where blessings overflow so much that you can't take them all in, like drinking from a fire hose? This is the reality that David wants us to understand, that it actually does exist, except that most of us aren't prepared for it. We aren't prepared to receive it, and we aren't prepared to accept it. So I want you to do this with me. I want you to ask yourself, who is God? What does God look like? And I know maybe not literally, what does he look like? Does he have, you know, does he have a beard? I don't know. But who is God? Because many of us have this picture of God who is, I don't know, stern, right? Does God, I mean, I just want to ask you this. When you think of God, does God ever smile at you? And not laugh at you, you know, like he laughs at me, you know. But I mean smile. Does God ever just smile on you? Or is God distant and stern, waiting for you to just mess up so he can smack you one good? Because that's what God likes to do, right? But the thing about it is that the Bible paints us this picture that God has no greater delight than for his people, than for us humans. He has no greater delight than when we humans live with blessing. We have this idea that God's playing like cosmic peekaboo, right? Like cosmic hide and seek and saying, I don't know, maybe you see me, maybe you don't. I'll hide a little bit here. I'll be behind the clouds. If you look really hard, maybe with a telescope, you'll see me. But St. Augustine said this. He said that God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. He delights in pouring out his blessings on us, his humans, the ones he loves. And yet most of us live in this life where we have this picture of God that is so distant and stern, that we can't imagine that God is this sort of miserly, old, crotchety man who when we ask him, says, God, can you give us something good? And he says, well, I'll give you something good, but here are the 12 strings that are attached. Here are the 12 rules that you got to follow. And I only want to give you just enough to get through. You ask for $10. Well, I bet you could get by on $6. But here's the truth. This is what Jesus tells us. That when we ask for $10, God gives us $10 million. If we can recognize when he's giving it to us. Jesus talks about living life to the full. But we think about God as giving us just a little bit. Just a taste. Because he wants to lord it over us. Because he wants to keep us from something good. And the Bible tells us over and over that that is not the picture of God. So here's the thing. If you have a picture of God, and this sounds blasphemous, but I want you to, in your mind, to take that picture and crumble it up. I know that sounds blasphemous, doesn't it? and I want you to throw it away. Put it in the trash bin and think, right click on it and say empty trash bin right now. Because Israel struggled too with this image of God. As a matter of fact, the shepherds of Israel had failed Israel so much. And when I say shepherds of Israel, I mean the people like me. Not just the leaders, but the spiritual leaders, the preachers and the teachers and the church guys, right? I mean, they didn't call them churches, but you know what I mean. Like the spiritual leaders. And they had failed Israel. And so the prophet Ezekiel, when he's talking about, he talks about how the shepherds of Israel had failed to show Israel who God really was. And so God says this. So this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on the day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements of the land. I will tend them in a good pasture. And the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. They will lie down in good grazing land, and they will feed on a rich pasture in the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. See, what God has in store for his people is that one day, what Israel longed for, what Ezekiel talked about, and by the time we get to the time of Jesus, what people longed for is that God himself would come and be the shepherd of Israel. Because let's face it, shepherds like me, well, we fail. But the good shepherd never fails. If you want to get a picture of God, here's what you do. I want you to take that picture you had. Remember that, well, you probably don't remember because you put it in your recycle bin and you emptied it, right? It's not there anymore, right? You'd have to get some sort of crack team from the CIA to figure it out. But that picture's thrown away, and I want you to replace it with a new picture. If you want to see the face of God, you need to go no further than Jesus himself. Jesus came on the scene and hoping, as Israel hoped, that God himself would come and shepherd Israel. And this is what Jesus says. He says in John chapter 10, he says, I am the good shepherd. If you want to see what God looks like, you just need to look at Jesus. And you will be looking into the face of God himself. And what does a shepherd look like? Is he stern and distant? Is he the guy who's just waiting for you to mess up so he can smack you around some more? Or is he the one who comes and lives with us? The one who comes and says, I am the good shepherd. And you know what Jesus says his qualifications are for being the good shepherd? I mean, think about it. Does he say, I'm really strong and I'm really, although he is, of course. Does he say that, you know, I'm really smart and I know all the ways that you should go, which of course is true, but that's not what he says. He says, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You see, it's very odd to me. I grew up with cows. We didn't have sheep, but I had cows. And cows, man, they are dumb. And they are delicious. Amen? Amen? Amen. Texas guy says, amen, brother. Let's have barbecue right now. And cows are stupid. I mean, stupid. And sheep are dumber. Okay, this is really true. Sheep are so stupid. And I'm not kidding. They are. They're dumb. Dumb, dumb, dumb animals. They are so dumb that they forget where they are and they just eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and they'll walk off a cliff. That's true. I'm not joking. That's really true. That's how dumb sheep are. They'll be wandering around eating and they get lost and they can't find their way back because they're stupid. Now, is it any wonder that God calls us Sheep. All of us. In fact, the Bible uses that all the time. It says, over and over in the prophets, they say the humans are like sheep that have gone astray. They're so dumb, they're lost out there. Somebody's got to come and take care of them. Enter the good shepherd who loves these stupid, stubborn sheep, who loves you. And I'm not trying to single you out, but you're dumb and you're stubborn, just like me. What happened to the human race is that we ate ourselves off the cliff. We did. That's exactly what the Bible tells us happened. We ate ourselves off the cliff. But the good shepherd didn't leave us to just die. The good shepherd came and he laid down his life for the sheep. The death that we ate ourselves into, Jesus comes and takes on himself and he says, I lay down my life for the sheep. And that's why he is the good shepherd. Not because he's so powerful. Of course he is. Not because he's so smart and wise. Of course he is. The reason he's the good shepherd is because he loved us dumb, stubborn sheep so much that he laid down his life for us. It goes further than that, right? I mean, it would be great if God laid down his life for all the good sheep, right? The sheep that were smart. Because I grew up on a farm, really, and this is true. And this is terrible, but it's true. If you find, like, a chicken or a cow that's really dumb and not good for your herd, you know what you do to it? You eat it with barbecue sauce. And it's delicious. Right, we call it culling the herd. Right? You have a bad one and you get rid of it. And it's delicious. But God doesn't do that. Jesus is not interested in culling the herd. This is what Jesus says. There were these guys called the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were, well, they were guys like me. Guys who were really, you know, well-educated and think they know everything. And think they know what God is doing all the time. And they're really upset that Jesus is hanging out with these people called sinners. Now, sinners is a really technical term in the Bible. It doesn't mean people who kind of make some mistakes every now and then. That's not what it means. Sinners are the people who know what God says and they don't care. They say, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I don't care what God says. I don't even know if I believe in him. I don't care what he says. I'm going to do what I want. That's a sinner, right? Not necessarily what we call good folks. It says the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners. And each of them, and eating with them wasn't just like, oh, he was having a meal, you know, down at Denny's. No. He was like having a celebration saying, God is here and he's here for you. He was having this like sort of religious meal with all this like religious circumstances going on. And he said, I'm here to celebrate the kingdom of God with you, sinners and tax collectors. You're bad people. The ones we need to cull out of the herd. And so Jesus hears the muttering. He tells them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after his sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. See, the truth is, I'm the one lost, dumb, stubborn sheep. It's me. I'm the one. I'm the one who went astray and wandered far away from God. I'm the one that should have been called out of the herd. But the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep trailed after me and tracked me through the mud and through the wilderness. He left the 99 behind and he followed after me and he looked for me and he spent sleepless nights until he finally tracked me down and snatched me up and he put me on his shoulders and he brought me home and he celebrated. He celebrated over me, the stupid, stubborn sheep. And here's the thing. You're the one. You're the stupid, stubborn sheep, just like me. And this morning, the good shepherd is calling your name. And when we hear his voice and we know his goodness, he wants us to respond. He wants us to follow and to allow him to be our shepherd, my shepherd, your shepherd. This morning, are you ready for blessings you can't even imagine or grasp? This next few weeks, these next 6 weeks, we're going to be talking about what does it mean to live a life where God's blessings overflow. And it begins with this. Is the Lord your shepherd? And I don't just talk. I'm not just saying, do you go to church? I'm not asking do you serve on a committee? I'm not asking if you've ever sort of went to summer camp. I'm saying, is the Lord your shepherd? Will you follow him? Will you hear his voice? This morning, if you hear his voice, maybe you're that lost sheep and you're struggling and you're blind and you don't know where you are and you are lost and you know it. And this morning, the good shepherd has tracked you down. Let's pray together. I want you to just meditate with me for a second. As you think about what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Maybe this morning you're the one. You know you're the lost sheep and God has been seeking you out. And this morning he has found you and you know it. And you might pray this prayer and say, Lord, I want you to be my shepherd. Thank you for finding me. Thank you for coming after me. Lord, thank you for celebrating me. And I'll follow you the rest of my life on earth because you are my shepherd. Maybe some of you have been in that place where you followed the shepherd, but your life doesn't look anything like it used to look, and you're sort of lost out there in the wilderness again. Maybe your life is so filled with worry and anxiety that you can't make heads or tails of what's going on. However God's speaking to you, I want you to meditate on that. I want you to listen. The band is going to come forward and they're going to sing a couple more songs. And I want you to just allow God to speak to you. Our ushers are going to come forward and we're going to take up our offering. And I promise you, this is not a way to manipulate you to give more money. I just want you to surrender yourself to the shepherd who loves you, the shepherd who laid down his life for you. Whatever God is calling you to do, I want you to just open your heart and allow him to speak to you.